We've been traveling together through Isaiah. We had a little break, got updated with districts and missions, and our vice president of church ministries came and shared what God was doing. And so thankful for Dr. Christian Sadak, our associate pastor, and his ministry to us in presenting the word last week. And we're going to continue this morning in Isaiah chapter 9. So if you have your Bible with us in Isaiah chapter 9, we want to invite you there. And we're continuing that whole theme, I would believe, if I could just put it in a nutshell, three words that describe the 66 chapters of Isaiah. It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning. Some theologians call it's the Bible within the Bible. 66 books in the Bible, there's 66 chapters in Isaiah. And as we've been diving in, we've discovered this prophet of God who, on the outset of his ministry, was very popular, was well-liked, well-loved. He married a prophetess, had children. But God began to give him a message that wasn't really necessarily well-received among those whom he preached. But he did so anyway. He stayed true to the word. This morning, we're in a familiar passage in chapter 9. Last week, as Pastor Christian shared, he asked a question, and that question that he asked of us is, do we believe God is with us? Do we really trust him? We were challenged last week to make the Lord holy in our life. Jesus is everything. So is Jesus my sanctuary, or am I stumbling over him? Do I trust in Christ, or am I tempted to compromise and partner with others who do not value Jesus? Am I filled with worry? We need to wait for the Lord. He is faithful. You can trust in God. That is what we were reminded of last week when Pastor Christian shared and preached the sermon from Isaiah 7 and 8. And 9 kind of ties in with that. I know it was very hard for him to kind of restrain a little bit and not jump into 9, because we know what 9 is. There's some great verses in chapter 9. We'll look at that in a moment. But it reminded me of really a beautiful passage in Proverbs where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." So this morning I want to ask you another question besides a bigger one. That big one was last week. Are you trusting in God? But the question this morning is, what keeps people from seeing and walking in the light of Jesus? What keeps people from seeing and walking in the light of Jesus? Just listen to some of these verses about light. The psalmist wrote, "For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face." Isaiah said in chapter 2, verse 5, "O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." In a few moments, we'll look at verse 2 of chapter 9. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone." In Isaiah 50:10, "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." Verse 11 of the same chapter, "Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled, that you have from my hand, you shall lie down." Goes on in John chapter 8, you know those words when you think of Jesus. He said these words, "And Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus declared himself to be the light of the world. He He even told his disciples that the light is among them for a little while longer. And he tells them in John chapter 12, verse 35, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. And Paul wrote to the Ephesians, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we see that there are a lot of verses in Scripture that deal with walking in the light. And I would submit to you that as Isaiah is giving this message, this prophecy, this revelation to his hearers, he's declaring to them the Messiah is the promised one who is light as well as their Messiah. J.R. Tolkien said these words, no half-heartedness and no worldly fear must turn us aside from following light unflinchingly. We see all throughout Scripture there is these comparisons, darkness and light. Light and darkness. In fact, when we go back to Genesis chapter 1, we see that God created light. He spoke it into being. And Jesus declared himself to be light. So let's look at this first seven verses of chapter 9 and see what Isaiah is saying here this morning. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish in the former time. He brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. May the Lord add his blessing to this portion of his word. So Isaiah here gives this kind of conclusion of chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9 as he declares, and in these words we see a message of hope. He says that in a sense, I want you to come and see the great light that is promised. And we know that great light to be Jesus. One commentator said this, this child who would become their deliverer is the Messiah Jesus. Matthew quotes these verses in describing Christ's ministry in Matthew 4, 15 and 16. The territories of Zebulun and Naphtali represent the northern kingdom as a whole. These were also the territories where Jesus grew up and often ministered. This is why they would see a great light. Isn't it interesting that Jesus was known to be Jesus of Nazareth? This past week, we were introduced to a series. Many of you have seen it, encouraged us to watch it, and it's called The Chosen. I don't know if you've watched any of that, but it is kind of interesting to watch that. And every time that Jesus is introduced, and one of the caveats of that miniseries is they really present the disciples as real people. They present Jesus as real, as a real person. But every time he was introduced, or he says, oh, this is, we have found him. We have found the one, the Messiah, Who? Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth? Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And they're taken back. Why would God in his infinite mercy allow Jesus to be born in Bethlehem and raised in Nazareth? It was that northern part. It was a land filled with darkness. And he wanted his light and his glory to be revealed. The Lord reveals his glory and his light. In fact, the word says that the darkness cannot overcome the light. That's good news. That's great news. We see in verse 2, well, in verse 1, we see, first of all, that the whole land was dark. It was filled with darkness. And before Jesus came, it was dark. Have you ever, you know the question, where were you when the lights were out, turned out? In the dark. Have you ever tried to make your way? As you get older, it's harder to make your way in the dark. I remember visiting my folks when they were in the glorious senior citizen years. And then my dad couldn't sleep at night. And he would get up in the middle of the night, and I would hear him banging and clanging and just hitting the wall or trying to get the door. He finally got a flashlight out. And usually we had to, Sue and I would have to sleep in the living room at a pull-out sofa there. And, of course, Dad's got the flashlight going, and it looks like, oh, man, there's a searchlight going everywhere. And then he'd go into the kitchen, and he'd turn on the lights, and the whole place would light up. Why? Because he couldn't see in the dark. He couldn't make it in the dark. We cannot live this life in the dark. Physically, or guess what? Spiritually, you just cannot exist in the dark. Jesus is the light of the world, and in him is life and the light of men. John reveals that truth to our hearts through the word and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But before Christ came, there was darkness. It says there, the good news is there will be no gloom for her. In the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea. What is the writer writing here? He's saying there is going to be a day when Jesus Christ will be revealed as the light, the true light, and there will be no more gloom, no more darkness. And we know that one day there will be no more tears, no more anguish, no more sorrow, no more pain when Jesus returns and gathers his bride to himself. Hallelujah. And that is our hope, and that is the truth of the word. We see secondly that the people who walked in darkness, and this is actually verse 2, they have seen a great light. And those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone because of Christ's light shining in the darkness. His light has been shining down on humanity. We go back to that question. What causes people not to walk in the light of the Lord? Well, we know that it's unbelief. We know that it is pride. It's the hardness of heart. We know that it's selfishness. One word, it's sin. I want my way, not his way. I want people to serve me. I don't want to serve him. And there comes a point in our journey as human beings that we have to come to the place where we surrender. We surrender to the Lord. We die to self. We have that choice. We have that choice. Will I live for Jesus or will I deny him? Will I follow Jesus or will I walk away? The greatest tragedy is to be exposed to the Savior in his truth and his love and his glory and his power and his goodness and all of who he is, his love, and yet walk away, turn away. You know, the rich young ruler. Lord, this is what I've done. I've done all this since youth. I've attended Sunday school every time there was Sunday school. I did this when I was young. I earned all the badges from Sunday school, memorizing the word. I even went to Awana and got all the awards. I did all this every time the church doors was open. I was there. The Lord says, there's one thing you still lack. Right? He told that to the young ruler. I'm paraphrasing Ted style. Go sell everything you have, come follow me. He couldn't do it. Why? Because he loved the things of this world. They mattered more to him than following Jesus. In that mini-series, The Chosen, I like the way they portrayed Nicodemus, if you saw it. Nicodemus, you know, John chapter 3, he was the one that went in the middle of the night to see Jesus. The way they portrayed it in the miniseries is that he was wrestling. Could this be? Could this be the Messiah? And in a private meeting there, Nicodemus was sharing, and Jesus was sharing the truth of John chapter 3. But a little off script from the scripture, Jesus says to Nicodemus, come and follow me. And you could see Nicodemus, man, he says like, yeah, I want to, but I have to give up so much. I have to give up and leave my family. I have to leave my wife. I have to leave my prominent position of power and teaching. I have to leave all the prestige of students following me to follow you. And the next morning where he was supposed to go meet Jesus, he's down at the well. And you can see he put some money there and Jesus found it. And the disciples are wondering where that money came from. And Jesus says, oh, it's someone. And then Jesus kind of says under his breath, well, he was so close. He came so close. You're so close. And they pan over to see Nicodemus and he's hiding behind the corner of a wall and he's crouched up and he's weeping. Why? Because he didn't take that step. Now, that was the director's and the writer's portrayal of Nicodemus. We don't know, but I kind of believe he is a follower of the Lord. But what does it take for a person to walk in the light of the Lord? Is to say yes to the Lord Jesus. I surrender all. Jesus is the light of the world. His presence shined brightly in the darkness. Those people who lived and walked in darkness, Jesus shined on them. They experienced Christ with them. John even said, we beheld him. We beheld his glory. The one who came from the Father. Hallelujah. They experienced Christ, Emmanuel. God is with us. All of Christ's goodness, all of his love, all his forgiveness, all his wisdom, all his teaching, all his power, all his presence was among him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ today as the Son of God, the light of the world? Do you? Do you want to know him and know him deeper? I want to know you more. I don't want to walk in darkness. Lord, I want your wisdom to shine in and through me. I want your light to shine upon me, that wherever I go, that next step. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I want your word to dwell in me richly so that I may walk in the light. We see because of Christ's light shining in the darkness, there's a reaction from the people of God. They rejoice, hallelujah, and are glad, hallelujah, and are filled with joy, hallelujah. Do you know that believers in Jesus Christ, we should be the happiest people on the planet? And the question comes in our society, are we? Sometimes we allow what's on TV to dictate our happiness. Sometimes we allow what's on our phone, social media, to dictate our happiness. Sometimes we allow the events and the pressure of our day, whether work or retired or health-related, dictate our happiness. But when we know Christ, when we really know Him, we should rejoice. We should be happy. We should be joyful, filled with inexpressible joy. That's why James could say, I count it all joy when I face various trials. Why? I may not be experiencing good feelings while I'm going through the trials, but I can have joy because I know that as I grow, as the psalmist says, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear not because He is with me. Hallelujah. And because He is with me, I have His joy inexpressible in my life. So no matter how hard life gets, no matter how difficult life becomes, I can lean on Jesus because He's my Savior. He's my light. In light, He gives wisdom. In light, He gives joy and gladness. It says they've multiplied the nation, they've increased its joy, they rejoice. As with joy in the harvest, it's bountiful, it's plentiful, it's overabundance, and they are glad when they divide the spoils, like, oh man, we just won the jackpot. It's great. It's great. You know what that's like. It's like putting on a pair of jeans and you feel your pocket and all of a sudden you pull out something that was folded up and there's a $20 bill in there and you didn't remember ever putting it in your pocket and you found an extra $20 bill. Well, that gives you joy. Christ's joy is better than that, right? Yeah. His joy, inexpressible joy. Fourth, because of Christ's light shining in the darkness, the people of God are rescued and delivered. Hallelujah, they are set free. There is something wonderful about coming to Jesus Christ and walking in the light. He will set you free. He will set you free. He will set you free from the sins and the chains that bind you. Listen, He will set you free from that desire to be habitually addicted to iniquity. He will set you free. Hallelujah. He has broken the chains. The writer here, Isaiah, goes and he does the day of Midian, and it reminds theologians, go back to that of Gideon. Gideon. And Gideon, who took the 300 and rescued, God used him, and they delivered the Israelites from captivity and the bondage of being in slavery was broken. Jesus can set you free. He can set you free. Don't allow the enemy to come in your mind. And I've had people say this to me, oh, pastor, I can't give up that. I can't stop that sinful act. I can't do that. God made me that way. He knows who I am. He knows how I'm wired. He's just got to deal with it. Well, in a sense, He's already dealt with it. He paid the price on the cross for you, and you can need to surrender it to the Lord. And every time you're tempted to go back to that sin, you are to look for the way of escape and say yes to Jesus and no to the temptation, because Christ has set you free. He was tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin, part of the light of Christ is being that deliverer, that rescuer. He wants us to live above the fray and live in the glory of his grace and mercy, and extend that grace and mercy to others. Extend that forgiveness that we've received from him to others. Walking in the light, we are free. Because of Christ's light shining in the darkness, there will be peace and justice that commences with the wars and conflicts ending. And that deals with verse 5. It's kind of talking about boots and what does that mean and all that kind of thing. But every boot of the trampling warrior in the battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. It's kind of interesting. Well, where did that come from? What does that mean? Well, it refers back to chapter 2, verse 4, where they take their swords and make them into plowshares and they begin farming. They lay down their weapons. In other words, when the Messiah comes, when Christ comes, there will be peace and justice throughout the land. For he is the Prince of Peace. And Isaiah goes on in verse 6, and we know that very well in verse 7. To experience the light of Christ, one must be really exposed to it, more than just see it. Yes, we need to see the light of the Lord, but we need to taste and see that the Lord is good. We need to embrace Christ. We need to follow him. We need to believe in him. We need to, as we were reminded last week, trust in him. And Isaiah gives a message of hope here now for the people. You know, it should be like Christmas time. But verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those four truths, Wonderful Counselor, Jesus is. He's wonderful. Both God and man, his love is the wonder of the angels and glorified saints. As one commentator says, he is wonderful. He is mighty. Almighty is he. He is mighty in power, mighty in wisdom, mighty in splendor and strength. He is the everlasting Father. Just as the creation of the world began, he was there, Jesus. He is the exact representation of God in the flesh. He is the everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace. He preserves peace. He commands peace. He creates peace in his kingdom. He is our peace. When there's turmoil all around you, if you have ever trusted in Christ or trusted in Christ in that moment, he will give you a sense of his assurance and his presence that will be calm and soothing. It is his peace, because he is the author and giver of all good, all that is peace. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Is Jesus. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and of the peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. God was speaking through Isaiah to the people to understand there will be coming a time when the Messiah will come and he will reign. His government will not end. There will be peace. There will be justice. There will be righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Who will do this? It's the Lord God Almighty who will do this. His kingdom is not of this world. It is not of this world. It is his kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is the light of the world, this one website says. Jesus is the light of the world. His light overcomes the world's darkness. All shadows disappear in the brightness of his presence. It is his glory, light that shines in our lives to cast out all darkness and evil. He illuminates our paths ahead so we do not lose our way. So the invitation is before us to come out of the darkness and to come into the light. The light of the Lord Jesus, to experience the love of the Lord Jesus, to live and experience new life in the Lord Jesus, and then to express that through joy with one another. God is so good. He is so loving. He is so kind. He is so compassionate that he reveals to us through his word, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Are you walking in that light today? Has something tripped you up or stumbled, caused you to stumble or fall away? We encourage you to return to him. Encourage you to seek him more, to go deeper with him, to walk in the light. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the word to our heart this morning. We're reminded that we were people, Lord, created in your likeness, in your image, not to walk in darkness, but to walk in the light. Lord, there are many things in this world that want to distract us from following you. The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the desire for the things of this world, boasting of accomplishments, whatever it may be. But we ask, Lord, that you will give us the courage, the strength to lay it all down, to surrender to you, to say, yes, Lord, I want to walk in the light. Because Jesus is the light of the world. I need Christ to shine in me and through me. I need his light to be my love. I need his light to be my wisdom. I need his light to be my peace. I need his light. So, Lord, I pray that your grace and your mercy will fall fresh on each of us this morning, and that you'll receive all the glory.